Friends, I'm turning this evening to Psalm 24, the psalm that we just read. And read a few verses from verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the sea, and established it upon the flood. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? And tonight we are going to look at the attributes of God and how they empower the believer. The last time we had the opportunity, I was going to start a series on the attributes of God where we pick the attributes one by one, but I've seen that it took a long time. So we'll just look at the attributes and how they empower the believer. Remember, when we say God is our portion, it means all who God is, all his divine attributes are there for us as Christians, as believers. So we are going to see how these attributes empower our lives tonight. So just a recap of what we learned the last time. We learned about what God's attributes are. When you say God's attributes, what are they? And when we talk about God's attributes, we are trying to answer some questions such as who is God, what is God like, and what kind of God is he? Who is God? What is he like? And what kind of God is he? So an attribute of God is something that is true about him. When we say the attributes of God. And we know that we can never fully comprehend who God is. But then he has revealed himself in this way. And we'll learn a few tonight to see how we benefit from them. As I said, because we are limited beings, we can never fully comprehend him. But he has made himself known through his words, and then we are going to see how, like I said, God is unlike anything that we can imagine or we can think of. Even describing him with words truly, truly falls short of who he is. As we said in the morning, we will see him as he is when we go and live with him. For now, we just study a few bits of him. Now, why do we study the attributes of God? Why do we have to study it to know who God is? Last time, we mentioned a few things, a few reasons why we need to study the attributes of God. The first and foremost is that it pleases him. It pleases God for us to study him, his attributes, who he is. It's pleasing to him, so we need to study. And also, it guards us against the wrong view of God. Like I always say, if people know who God really is, the way they pray will change, the way they worship him will change. So when you know God, who he is, if you don't have a wrong view of God, you approach him as he is. Therefore, the attributes, knowledge of the attributes guards us against having a wrong view of God. And it also produces joy in our hearts. This knowledge of God's attributes will produce joy in our hearts. And like I said, knowing God also enhances our worship. If we know who he is, we come with him with reverence and worship him. So knowing his character will also enhance our worship. Because we all know that worship is an act of glorifying and praising God. When we say we are coming to worship God, it is not what we are seeing, what we are hearing on televisions and all the things that we are seeing there. That is not how to approach God and worship him. If you look at the Old Testament times, how people worship God. We worship him in reverence. He said we worship him in spirit and in truth. So knowing his character will enhance your worship. So we need to know him in greater depth in order that we properly worship him, and then our worship will be accepted and we also will be blessed. Knowing God's character also builds our faith. If you know who he is, it will build your faith. Last Wednesday, when the pastor was talking about faith is not what we want, and because we want it, we must have it. No, faith is believing in what God has promised. And because God is who he is, we believe his promises. And therefore, we can have faith in his promise that when we pray for certain, we can get them. So it is very, very important to know God's character, to build our faith as well. So when we know about God, it encourages us when we come before Him in prayer, and we are also strengthened. That's the important, the more reason why we should know the character of God. And when you know Him, we can fully trust Him, we can depend on Him, knowing that He will never fail you. And then we can confidently live out our faith with boldness and joy and contentment. Knowing God's character also changes the way we interact with others. When we know God as who He is, it changes our attitude, how we interact with others. Remember 1 Corinthians 5 verse 20, it reminds us that believers, we are Christ's ambassadors. We represent God or Christ in this world. So when we know all these things, if you know who we are, then we also know how to keep ourselves in this world. And so it's very, very important to grow in knowledge of Him and then act as He wants us to do. And the more we get to know Him, the better we understand who God is and who we are. And then we appreciate the love He has for us. Last time we talked about the love, and this morning we talked about the love of God. When we know all these things, we appreciate the love He has for us. The love that made Him give His own begotten Son so that He comes to die for us to gain our salvation. And as our gratitude grows, so does our desire to proclaim the gospel. When we are grateful to God, then we want to spread the gospel, because we are saved to help save others. So when we show gratitude, when we know God and then our gratitude grows, our desire to proclaim the gospel and share with people and with others. So now, sometimes when you go on, you go out to evangelize, there's some kind of fear. Sometimes you meet some people and you want to approach them, and yet, looking at the people, you think whether they receive you or not, there's some fear there. But if you know who has sent you, the word that you are carrying, the power in the word, it throws that fear away, and then it enables you to proclaim the word boldly. So we know Him, and then we proclaim His word. So because we believe in Him, we can act on His word. That's why James tells us in James 1:22-25, he says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." So you see, when we know God, it encourages us to go and proclaim the word of God. And once we are proclaiming the word, we are doing what God wants us to do. If you hear and you don't act on it, you are just a hearer and not a doer. So, like I said, all these attributes are at our disposal, because He is our portion. Last week, we looked at one aspect of the attribute, which is love. And we learned so many things about it. So we just remind ourselves of a few that we learned about the love of God for us. Like I said, we can't fully comprehend it. It's beyond our comprehension. But then, there's a hint in the scriptures. First, we learned that God's love is great or boundless. His love is great. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love," see, His great love, "wherewith He loved us." And then verse 5 going on, "even when we were dead in sin." You see, He loved us when we were dead, and remember we have said that God is holy. And yet when we were dead in sin, God loved us. You see, so the love of God is great, and then also it is boundless. Always God is the initiator. We can never approach God because of who we are. This morning we learned that God must cleanse us before we can approach Him. He initiates it. We can't do anything about our situation. We are dead in trespasses. Because of His love, He awakens us and then draws us to himself. We also learn that God's love is gracious or kind. That is why we say salvation is by grace alone, through faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7, it said, God was speaking to the people of Israel. He said, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than 80 people, for you were the fewest of all the people. But because the Lord loved you, see, so here God is showing that he will not choose anybody because of anything good in us, but because of the love he has for us. Otherwise, if it was anything good in us, nobody can approach God, as we said in the morning. So we see his love is gracious by grace and by his kindness. So let us understand that God loves us, but it's not because of who we are or what we can do, but he just loves us as we are. So that's what we learned the last time. And let's come to our topic today. Like I said, we are going to see how the attributes of God empowers the Christian, how we can benefit from all these attributes. Friends, are you concerned about a loved one far away from home? We all show such concerns, even when our children travel abroad or even when they are in schools and we are at home. We show much concern as to what is happening to them. God is there too, because he's omnipresent. He is there wherever you fear for your loved one. God is there. Are you worried about the future? Which we all do, because we live in a world of uncertainties. Nobody knows what is going to happen the next day. So we are all worried about the future. But know that God already knows the future. He is the omniscient God. He knows everything. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He knows everything. Are you distressed about world events? Yes, we are. We know how the world is going now. The event that we are witnessing in the world now. Definitely, we should be worried. But if you know that God is powerful, God is sovereign, and is in control of all things, regardless of whatever goes on, God is in control. So if you are a believer, trust that God is in control of all things. So when you pray with these attributes of God, it is very, very, very powerful. Spurgeon said this, that he said, it is a great battering ram with which we may open the gates of heaven. Praying with God's attributes, it opens the gates of heaven. So friends, it is very, very, very important that we know the attributes of God and how it empowers our lives on this earth and our relationship with God. So I've assembled a few of them. We can't, like I said, we can't treat all of them, but we'll look at a few and then see how it empowers us in this world. First, God is holy. One of the attributes of God is holiness. And if you don't understand the holiness of God, we might think of ourselves as reasonably good people. It's when you know the holy of God that you know who you are. In Isaiah chapter 6 verse 5, when Isaiah got to know God, this is what he said. He said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So when you know the holiness of God, it makes you know who you are, how fallen you are, how far you are from God. So if you don't know him, you might think you are good, as some people think. Like the Pharisees, they thought that they were good people. It's because they did not know the holiness of God. But the small glimpse of the holiness of God, we will never argue that point again. We will never claim that we are something before God. If we really know the holiness of God. So God's holiness reveals who we are, and then it gives us respect. That's why I said it also affects your worship. You come to God and you know the kind of God you have come to. So you can't come and behave before a holy, holy, holy God. So it's very, very important that we know that God is holy. And because he's holy, it makes us know who we are. This is one aspect of the attributes of God. We also know that God is faithful. We just read it from the Psalm. God is faithful. So his faithfulness, how does it impact in our life? It also gives us confidence in him. It allows us to have total confidence in every promise that God has made. That's what I said earlier on, that when we say we have faith, faith is based on God's promise. And because we know who God is, that God is faithful, he can never lie. Whatever he has said will come to pass. So if God says he will do this, then he gives you the faith to come and pray for it, because he has said he will give it to you. If he hasn't promised to give it to you, and you think because you want it, God will give you that faith, it doesn't work like that. So knowing God, that God is faithful, allows us to have a total confidence in every promise that God has made to us. Remember in Hebrews 10:22, he says, he who promised is faithful. Who is that? It is God. He who promised is faithful. He is faithful, and therefore he will keep to his promise. So this will increase your faith, and then take his promises. It's not like what people are saying, I take it and take it and all. It is not true. You always have faith in what God has promised. It is not because you want it and somebody said and you say you have taken it and then it is yours. It is not true. So knowing the holiness of God is very, very important. And you know that his promises cover every moment of our life. And then we know that they are certain. They will come to pass as he has said it. We know that Jesus Christ is the faithful servant and the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. And then how Christ came to die for us is a sign and a seal of God's power to guarantee his word to us. He said he will send his son to come and die. He did it. Christ came to die. If he has done the major thing, what do we need from God that God cannot give us? So you see, he's faithful. And because of his faithfulness, our faith is also increased, so that we know that he who has promised is faithful. And then he will do it. So you see, God's faithfulness is also there for us to take. Because he's faithful, we can pray to him and for all his promises, and he will never deny us. If he denies us, then his faithfulness is not true. Or he's lying, and we know that God cannot lie. So that is the faithfulness of God. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He has power over every situation, over death, over illness, over poverty, over everything. And he's faithful. So if he says he will give us, he will give us. In Psalm 37 verse 25, he said, David said he has been old and he has been young, but he has never seen God's people whose children are begging for food. God is faithful. He will always provide for us. He will always defend us when we are in trouble. He will provide for us when we are in need. He will guide us when we need guidance and direction, because he is faithful. So when we align ourselves to his perfect will, then we have access to his power. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 8, it says, his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. See, because of his faithfulness, the divine power, all that power is there for us. God is also eternal. And because he's eternal, he lives outside of time and space and controls everything. He controls time and space because he's eternal, as we learned this morning. He's forever and ever. He doesn't end. So if he promised to give us eternity, it is true. Yet how Christ promised to raise us from death, because he has done it. He has come to die and then be raised up again. So if you say he will give us life, it is true. And because God is eternal, he is outside of time and controls it. He controls the changes, seasons, and everything in this world. He controls history. He controls everything. He is beyond everything. God knows the day of our birth. He knows the day we will die. He knows. He has programmed it. And nothing can change it. That is why, as a Christian, you don't fear that anybody can kill you, unless God allows it. Because he has programmed your life. He has programmed you from the day you were born to the day you die. And in between, if you are giving your life to Him, He directs you. He protects you until the final day. In Psalm 31, verse 15, it says, "My times are in your hands." Our times are in the hands of God because it's eternal. If God wasn't eternal, we could never have placed our times in His hands because it will end. And then where do we go from there? But because it's eternal, we can put our trust and our hope in Him. And this gives us confidence for tomorrow. Because as the old saying goes, we don't know what the future holds. I say we live in a world of uncertainty. But because God is eternal and knows everything and has power over everything, we can hope in Him and then move forward. In Psalm 139, verse 16, it says, "Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them." You see, God knows everything from your mother's womb up to this time, up to when He will call you. It's all because it is eternal and He has power over every situation. God is also changeless. He never changes. He's ever the same. The same yesterday, today, and forever. So because He never changes, He provides us with unshaking stability. Because He never changes. He is as he is. So He can give us stability. Like a mountain. When you see a mountain there, you can see that it is solid. That is what God is. God is solid. He never changes. And therefore, we can put our trust in Him. We can hope in Him in all our ways, in everything that we do. When we are afflicted, or when we are overwhelmed, or when we are unable to sleep, whatever we are going through, let us know that our Lord never changes. He is the God of yesterday. What He did in the Old Testament times, what Christ came to do, is there for us as well. If only we are believers, if we have given our life to Him, and He controls our life. Psalm 102 also says that, "Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like garments, but you are the same, and your years will have no end." He's changeless. He is the same. His years will have no end. What a God we serve. See, this will give us courage. These are the things that we need to know. And then our faith increases, and we are encouraged to go through whatever we go through in this world. God is also good. The goodness of God, when I say He's good, I'm talking about His perfection and His excellence. He's perfect, no defect. He's excellent. The more you study the goodness of God, the more our concepts, you know, the more it captures our mind who God is, the more we study. If you know how good God is, and like I said, the same God and what He did in past times, He continues to do. He is good. Everything about Him is good. There's nothing bad about God. We can be good and can be bad at different times, but God is good forever and ever. And because He's good, He is good to all His creatures, and He longs to bless all His creatures. Everybody that God has blessed, God has created, God wants to bless us with all the blessings that He has. In Psalm 145, he said, "I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness." He is good forever and ever. So, knowing who God is and what all these attributes are meant for us is what we are learning now. It builds your confidence, and it does so many things to your life. It changes your concept of life, your idea about life. God is also omniscient, as I've already said. When I say He's omniscient, it means He knows everything. God knows everything that there is to know. There's nothing that God does not know. No secret or any secret thoughts. Whatever you think in your mind, God knows. You don't have to say it. He knows everything. And He knows what everybody thinks. Everybody throughout the whole world, even angels, whoever, God knows how they think and who they are, because He created them. So there's no secret plans, no secret longings, no nothing You can never have anything in secret before God. He knows everything. He's the omniscient and the omnipotent God. So every thought that flashes through your mind, God knows. God knows everything instantly. It's not like he will know later on. He knows them instantly. The moment it crosses your mind, God knows. And at the same time too, he knows what is in the mind of everybody in this world. He's a wonderful God, isn't he? He knows everything instantly and at all times and in everybody. So God knows our thoughts, our deeds, our fears. He knows everything. That is why when Christ came, he lived a perfect life, opening righteousness to us. And then he showed it to the entire world. And then he rose again in victory. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13 says, he who covers his sins will not prosper. Don't cover your sin. Confess your sins to God, because he knows. And he says, if you cover it, you will not prosper. But whoever confesses his sins and forsakes them will have mercy. Because God knows. So don't hide it. Confess to him, and he will give you mercy. Psalm 47, verse 15, verse 13. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. It's forever and ever. God is also sovereign. What do we mean by God is sovereign? There's a book in our bookshop, the Sovereignty of God, which I wish everybody tried to read that book by after thing. It's very, very powerful. It explains fully when you talk about the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty means he controls everything. Everything in this world is controlled by God. That's what we mean by God's sovereignty. He does things according to his will. Nobody dictates to him. He does what he wants to do, because whatever he does is right. Whatever he does is the right thing to do. So he's sovereign over all things. He's a sovereign King of Kings and the sovereign Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So God is sovereign, and therefore this sovereignty is for us too, to also take advantage of. And like I said, whatever he does is right, because he's a sovereign God. Where do we know this? Genesis chapter 18, verse 25 says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Shall God not do right? Whatever God does is right. Can never be wrong, because he is a sovereign God. We also know God as omnipresent, which means he's everywhere and at any time. There's nowhere that God is not. Nowhere in this world and even beyond that God is not. He's omnipresent in the universe, yet he dwells with and among his people. Remember, he said, where two or three have met in my name, I am in their presence. So he is here now. Whatever other people have met in his name, he is there. So he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. Don't think you have to go to a particular place to God before he can listen to you. That's what I'm saying, that if people know all these things, they won't go to all those mountain places and the forest areas to go and pray. God is with us. He's everywhere and at any time. So you can pray to him wherever you are. So let's learn to meditate on his presence when we are tempted, when we are troubled, when we are tasked with anything. Let's also remember that he is with us, and he knows whatever we are going through, and he is with us in whatever we are going through, because he is omnipresent. I'll just read one Bible verse about it. Our time is going. Psalm 139. He said, I can never escape from your spirit, because wherever I go, you are there. You can never, never go away from God. Wherever you go, he's there. Go to heaven, he's there. Go to down the earth, he's there. And that is why we mean that God is infinite. He's forever and ever. He's not restricted by space and time. He exists beyond the universe, and yet he is with us wherever we are. Now, when we say God is omnipresent, or is infinite, or is sovereign, he can never, never cease to be God. He can never. He continued to be the God he is forever and ever. So when we talk about God's omnipotence or omnipresence, we are saying that God can do anything he desires and has power to accomplish it. He can do it and he has the power to do it. Unlike us, we don't have the power to do everything. We have the power to do certain things, but not the power to do everything. So when we talk about God's omniscience, we are trying to say that God knows all things that have existed before, that do exist, or might have existed, and will exist. He knows everything that has existed before, or that should have existed but is not existing, or what is existing now, and what will exist in future. God knows everything. He has full knowledge of all events everywhere, and at the same time. This means that he comprehends the location of every atom of the universe. This is the God we are talking about. Everything. Both, and he knows them simultaneously. Both present and future. Everything. And any time, at any space, God knows. So when we are talking about God's infinite nature, we are saying that God has no restriction in space and time. He's everywhere, all the time, and whatever situation we are, the Lord is with us. So friends, tonight I hope we've all learned about the attributes of God, why we should study them. Remember we said it pleases God, it guards against our having a wrong view of God, it enhances our worship with God and the way we pray. All these things are for us as Christians, because he is our portion. He will never let Christ come to die for us for nothing. This is the reason he has come to die for us, and therefore everything about him is ours. It's just like you and your father. Whatever your father has is for you. The same thing with us as we believers. Whatever Christ, God has, his attributes, divine, are all for us. There are some that are communicable that God gives us. There are some that are only for God, that we human beings don't have access to. But even though for those ones, he has laid them down for us. Friends, what a God we have. I'm sure this will build our confidence and our trust in God in all our ways, in everything that we do, in every situation. Let's know that this God is the God that we serve. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God who did miracles in those days, the God who sent Christ to come and die for us, is the same God that we are serving now. And if we serve him well, all these attributes are good for us. My prayer is that we take these things seriously, and then it will affect the way our relationship with God, knowing his character, knowing who he is, and what he has placed at our disposal.